You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Today is day 46 of the oil spill from BP's Deepwater Horizon drilling project in the Gulf of Mexico. Over 40 million gallons of oil have gushed out of the broken pipe, causing massive environmental destruction. On Thursday, President Barack Obama issued a 6-month extension of the moratorium on permits and environmental waivers for the drilling of new deepwater wells announced after the April 20th spill. Daniel Rolfe is a law professor at Lewis and Clark Law School in Oregon, specializing in environmental issues, and he joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Now, President Obama announced a moratorium on permits for drilling new offshore oil wells. What is the extent of new permits that have been issued since that moratorium was announced?
Well, it's interesting, actually. The president announced a moratorium on sort of two different occasions, last week and also the week before. The week before, the first time the president announced a moratorium, the Minerals Management Service, which is the agency within the U.S. Department of Interior that regulates offshore oil and gas exploration and production, was actually continuing to issue at least some permission for new wells, new drilling at existing well sites, as well as was continuing to issue exemptions from the United States environmental assessment regulations to permit new exploration in the Gulf of Mexico. When the president last week announced an extension on that moratorium, I think the political situation had changed to some degree. The U.S. federal government clearly recognized that the American people were becoming increasingly concerned about this environmental disaster, as well as concerned about the federal response to that disaster. And since the president announced the moratorium once again, an extension of that moratorium last week, there have not been any additional exemptions to issued to the U.S. environmental assessment regulations. And to my knowledge, there also have not been any new permits to drill even at existing approved well sites.
So initially there were new permits, but now given the political pressure, then there are not being new permits issued.
Yeah, that's correct. And I believe that the president's initial rationale for continuing even to approve exemptions was a provision in federal law in the United States that regulates offshore oil and gas drilling and exploration, which provides only a 30-day time period from when an oil company submits an exploration plan to when the government has to rule on that plan. However, there are judicial interpretations of that law here in the United States that recognize that the Department of Interior can request additional time for environmental studies. And so perhaps the Department of Interior attorneys have, and hopefully the Department of Interior attorneys have scrutinized some of those decisions and recognized that even under laws that are quite favorable to oil and gas exploration and production, that the federal government can still regulate in order to assess the environmental impacts of those oil and gas activities.
So are there, on balance, then sufficient protections in place at this point that projects that will seriously threaten the environment will not go through?
Well, at this point, we're essentially in a retrenchment and reassessment mode. The administration, as you mentioned, announced a moratorium on new permission for drilling offshore for about a 6-month period. The department even canceled a couple of planned offshore oil and gas leases as part of that sort of reassessment process. And so right now, I think, as I mentioned, politically, the Department of Interior and the federal government have sort of gotten the message that it had better pretty much put everything on hold for the time being. I also heard a report last week where even a shallow water drill that drill permit that was only in 100 feet of water or so had been put on hold, so not even a deep water permit. And I think that reflects the political situation where President Obama is clearly feeling political heat as a result of questions about the federal government's handling of this spill. So in this period, for at least 6 months, when we are likely to see an increasingly tight moratorium on any exploration and development activities, or any new exploration and development activities, I should say, I think it gives us a good opportunity to assess both the laws that are meant to protect the environment from this sort of disaster that we're now seeing unfolding, and also to assess our implementation of those laws, which has been seriously flawed in recent years.
What would be your kind of most optimistic, I guess, hope about what would happen in the six-month period that you're entering now in the United States in terms of the moratorium and future projects?
Well, at one end, we clearly need to do a much better job of enforcing the regulations that are already in place. We've come to recognize that the Minerals Management Service, again, the agency that regulates offshore exploration and production, has been seriously deficient in enforcing existing regulations. Minerals Management Service for the Deepwater Horizon project, as well as many others, issued an exemption, essentially gave itself an exemption from our environmental assessment legislation for exploration for Deepwater Horizon, basically saying that an impact to the environment was so far-fetched and so unlikely that we wouldn't even assess the possibility of environmental damage as a result of this exploration, and that was clearly incorrect. And so we need to do a much better job of implementing the rules that we have. We need to try to eliminate the coziness between the oil and gas industry and regulators. There have been a number of scandals over the last couple of years involving Marine Management Service officials and oil industry and the oil and gas industry. In one case in 2008, an Inspector General report detailed how Minerals Management Service officials were literally having sex with and doing drugs with oil and gas company officials. And so, you know, you literally have the regulators in bed with the regulatees. Clearly a problem. At that point, the Department of Interior announced that it was going to reform the agency. That clearly did not work. Another Inspector General report that was released a couple of weeks ago detailed, again, a very cozy relationship between regulators and industry, this time in the Louisiana office that governs offshore exploration and drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. There were gifts being exchanged, trips being taken. At one point, there was an inspector inspecting a couple of offshore oil platforms while he literally was applying for a job with the very same company whose rig he was inspecting. So clearly, we have not done a good job of reform just to implement existing law, and in the six-month period, we need to totally clean house and do a much better job of implementing the law that we have. I think it's also important to kind of take another look at the way we regulate the oil and gas industry in many different ways. We need to get rid of, as I mentioned, the sort of exclusions from environmental legislation that agencies can essentially write themselves. Those need to clearly go by the wayside. We need to look at much more stringent requirements for technical requirements for drilling. We need to carefully prescribe and not provide any exceptions for things like the proper casing. We learned that in the offshore, in the Deepwater Horizon instance, BP was actually using a much riskier casing methodology of cementing the actual well. That was cheaper, but obviously much more dangerous. And the sort of leak preventing device that failed was also a less technically advanced but less expensive version of what could have been used. So we need to get much better at requiring the sort of technical protections that hopefully would prevent this sort of environmental disaster. We need to get much better at providing for response plans so that when there is a leak, it doesn't catch everyone essentially by surprise. And, you know, we go back to trying to assemble technology and response equipment from all corners of the country or globe. We need to be ready for this sort of disaster. We need to put more effort into research and development on response technology. I mean, we're essentially using response technology that hasn't changed much from the Exxon Valdez spill of 20 years ago. So we need to get much better at that. And then finally, I think we just need to take a comprehensive look at overhauling the way we regulate the oil and gas industry. We need to provide for more stringent environmental controls. We need to rethink subsidies that we, billions of dollars worth of subsidies and tax breaks that we provide to the industry, and invest some of that money in safety and prevention and also response to these sorts of disasters. So it's really kind of a top-down look at how we regulate the industry that we need at this point.
Do you think the Obama administration has the willingness to do that kind of very, very drastic house cleaning?
Well, I think it's both the administration and Congress. It really is going to take both. The administration is clearly feeling the heat politically. And so, you know, as we've seen the administration tighten the moratorium, I think there will be significant pressure on the administration to carry forward with some meaningful reforms of executive branch agencies that implement the existing law and regulate the oil and gas industry and offshore drilling. However, when it comes to looking at the subsidies for the industry, looking at the actual legal requirements that apply, and perhaps loosening up some of these very tight time frames that give federal agencies relatively little time in which to truly consider and think about the environmental consequences of these actions, that really is going to fall on the shoulders of the legislature. And so Congress also needs to get into the act. I think, unfortunately, politically, it's somewhat easier for members of Congress to escape the same level of scrutiny that the executive branch faces. You know, everybody thinks about the president, you know, the kind of the first thing when they're thinking about the federal response, but not quite as many people think about the role of Congress in this whole affair as well. And so I think it is going to be important, however, for lawmakers to feel some of that political pressure and take action on their own. I think that can potentially be more challenging because when you're dealing with an industry that has literally billions and billions of dollars to throw around, that can buy a lot of political friends. And so I think we will see potentially more resistance to that sort of legislation. But if we really want to try to both avoid these sorts of environmental catastrophes, and if one occurs, or sort of when one occurs again, to be able to better respond to it, I think that's going to take action by Congress as well. So I'm hopeful that a disaster of this magnitude can galvanize some legislative change as well as administrative change. I'm less hopeful that it will go as far as we probably need to go.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Daniel.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Daniel Rolfe. Daniel Rolfe is a law professor at the Lewis and Clark Law School in Oregon, and he specializes in environmental issues.